Hey everybody, today is the Feast of All Saints Day, and I want to share some random reflections with you about what it means and what it doesn't mean to be a saint. First of all, you know, we are all called to be saints. This means if we don't know what a saint is, we're in trouble because we're all called to be one. Imagine if we were all called to be plumbers, but we had no idea what it meant to be a plumber. We would be in a very, very precarious situation, right? A lot of us, we grow up with a very faulty understanding of what a saint is. I know I did. I was raised in Catholic schools in the 70s and 80s. And you remember the holy cards we used to get as kids? I think my misunderstanding of what a saint is began with those holy cards, so-called holy cards. Saints that always had rosy cheeks and the perfect manicure, and they were like airbrushed perfection that just seemed kind of gaudy and over the top and even inhuman. And I grew up thinking, if that's what a saint is, not only am I not that, but I don't want to be that. Somebody who has escaped humanity, somebody who has become so spiritual that the body no longer even matters. This was my impression, faulty impression, growing up in the Catholic Church in the 70s and 80s as to what a saint is. Here's, I think, one of the worst things about that faulty notion of sanctity. It makes being a saint not only seems to be unattainable, but it makes being a saint seem unattractive. And nothing could be further from the truth. A saint is the most attractive human being there is, because a saint is someone fully alive. A saint is someone not who has rejected the truth of his humanity, but is living out the full truth of his humanity. And here, one of my faulty notions growing up about what a saint was a misunderstanding of perfection. What is perfection? We're all called to be saints, which means we're all called to perfection. Christ himself says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. But I grew up confusing the road to perfection with perfectionism. I, to this day, in my late 40s, am a recovering perfectionist. And the perfectionist believes I'm only going to be loved when I'm perfect. And that means I spend my life hiding my faults, hiding my imperfections, so I can pretend I'm more perfect than I am, so that I can believe that I'm lovable. That's perfectionism. But the road to perfection is very different. The road to perfection recognizes, here's perfection, here's where I am, way back here, and I'm not waiting to get here in order to be loved. I realize I'm loved right where I am. And it's that love that calls me forward, step by step by step by step, to become the human being I'm called to be. That's the key distinction between perfectionism and the road to perfection. If you, like me, are a recovering perfectionist, take comfort. You are loved in your imperfection. Take comfort in what one of the greatest saints of our tradition tells us, Saint Thérèse of Lisieux, the little flower, about what perfection really is. We learn from her the marvelous paradox that growing in perfection means becoming more and more at peace with our own imperfection. Listen to what the little flower says. She says, I learned that the more one advances, the more one sees the goal is still far off. And now I am simply resigned to see myself always imperfect. And in this, she says, in her imperfections, she finds her joy. Listen to this. This is astounding. This is what sanctity is. This is what a saint is. Not someone who is perfect, but someone who is at peace in all his or her imperfections, knowing that that person is loved. That person knows he or she is loved in his or her imperfections. That's the paradox. That's the irony of perfection. We become more perfect the more imperfect we realize we are and are loved there and at peace there. Again, let me quote from Saint Therese so you know I'm not making this up. She says, "I am astonished at nothing. I am not disturbed at seeing myself as weakness itself. On the contrary, it is in my weakness that I glory, and I expect each day to discover new imperfections in myself." This is the road to sanctity, to discover new imperfections in myself and to bring them to the light, not to hide them and bury them like the perfectionist does. Guilty, guilty. But to bring them out into the light. To bring them out into the light. Here's another thing that the little flower says. She says, "It is impossible for me to grow up. And so I must bear with myself such as I am with all my imperfections. The elevator which must raise me to heaven is your arms, O Jesus. And for this I had no need to grow up, but rather I had to remain little and to become this more and more." Here was a big, big game changer for me in this whole destruction of that perfectionistic paradigm, right? My spiritual director, who knows me so well, he's a straight talker and he said it straight. I'll spell it so as not to offend anybody, but I needed to hear him say it straight up. And he said, "Christopher, you think a saint is somebody who has his S-H-I-T together." He said, no, you got it all wrong. A saint is someone who has all his S-H-I-T open to the merciful love of the Father. That is the road to becoming a saint. Not burying our imperfections and brokenness and spiritual sewage, if you will, but exposing it, opening it up, bringing it out into the light, letting God love us there. That is the road to sanctity. That is the road to the saints, to becoming a saint. And you and I, we are all called to become saints. Let me put it to you this way, just to bring out into the light how confused we are and how wrong-headed we are about what it means to be a saint. Be honest with me. Don't you, like me, kind of roll your eyes when you read the great saints like John Paul II or Mother Teresa or St. John of the Cross or the Little Flower, Teresa of Avila or whomever, pick anybody. Let's just go with Mother Teresa. Don't you roll your eyes when we read the saints saying they're such wretched sinners, right? Don't we like, oh yeah, whatever, Mother Teresa, sure you are. Pause. Right there is the indication that we know not what a saint is. We have such a faulty idea of what a saint is. A saint is not somebody who's got it all together. A saint is someone who sees truly how wretched their broken, sinful humanity is, and they've opened it to God's holiness. They've opened it to God's mercy. Holiness is never ours. Holiness is always God's, and it is His gift to us if we would but open our unholy, broken, wounded humanity to Him. And here we gain some tremendous insight from St. John Paul II's teaching about the spousal relationship, about the theology of our bodies and the call to holy communion. First and foremost, let me quote directly from John Paul II's Theology of the Body. He says this, "Holiness is what permits man to express himself deeply with his own body." Pause right there. How often do we think that holiness means living a spiritual life in the sense that we divorce ourselves from our bodies? How often do we think that the spirit is the good and holy part of us and the body is the bad, dirty, unholy part of us that we have to reject or eschew or run away from in order to grow in holiness? This could not possibly be further from the truth. Again, quoting John Paul II, holiness is what permits man to express himself deeply with his own body, precisely through the sincere gift of himself. We'll come back to that in a minute. It is in his body as man or woman that we feel that we are called to holiness. Pause right there. One of the greatest gifts that John Paul II gives us in his Theology of the Body is this right here. The call to holiness is inscribed by God right in our bodies. How so? Here's how so. What is the call to holiness? It is the call to love as God loves. It's the fulfillment of the new commandment. Here it is. Jesus gives us the new commandment, love one another as I have loved you. How did Jesus love us? Jesus says to his bride, this is my body given for you. The call to holiness, the call to love as God loves, is chiseled by God right in our bodies. Think about it. Man's body doesn't make sense by itself. Woman's body doesn't make sense by itself. Seen in light of each other, unless we are blind, we discover the unmistakable invitation and call of God inscribed right in our sexuality to holy communion. This is holiness. This is holiness. To learn how to love in the image of God, to learn how to make a gift of our bodies, to learn how to live what St. John Paul II called the spousal meaning of the body, which is the call to be a gift inscribed right in the sexual difference. Of course, marriage, the marital union, the whole of married life, this is not the only way to live the spousal meaning of the body. Christ fulfills the spousal meaning of the body in a celibate way on the cross. And if you're familiar with my work and my teaching, you've certainly seen this image before. This is what we can call the unity cross or the nuptial cross. Of course, every cross is a unity cross. Every cross is a nuptial cross. But here the artist brings out the mystery beautifully with the new Adam and the new Eve at the foot of the cross. Mary at the foot of the cross is the symbol of the church. And as such, she's the symbol of the bride. And it's the bridegroom, the new Adam, giving up his body for his bride on the cross that reveals what true holiness is. Here again, I quote from St. John Paul II, this time from his document on the dignity and vocation of woman. This also made it into the catechism. And John Paul says this, holiness is measured according to the great mystery. And whenever you hear great mystery in the language of John Paul II, you know he's talking about Ephesians chapter 5. Where St. Paul links the one flesh union and calls it a great mystery when he links it with the union of Christ and the church. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife. The two will become one flesh. This is a great mystery, St. Paul says, and it refers to Christ and the church. Here we have the key to understanding what true holiness is, according to St. John Paul II. Again, let me go to his quote from Mulieris Dignitatem, his letter on the dignity and vocation of women. He says, holiness is measured according to the great mystery in which the bride responds to the gift of love. Let me make sure I'm getting this right. That the bride responds with the gift of love to the gift of the bridegroom. Again, holiness is measured according to the great mystery in which the bride, here's the bride, responds with the gift of love to the gift of the bridegroom. This means holiness is always the initiative of God. He is the one who gives the gift. We see this inscribed in the bridegroom's body, right? Theology of the body. Why did God come as a man? Because he came as a bridegroom. In the spousal analogy, God is always the bridegroom and we are always the bride. Why? Because this is love. Not that we first love God, but he first loved us. God is always the initiator of love. God is always the giver of holiness. We as the bride, we at the foot of the cross, that's the church, this is all of us, at the foot of the cross, we are receptive. And if you see in this image, the bride here is holding a chalice open to the flow of blood and water. That's holiness. Holiness is to open our hearts in all of its emptiness, in all of its wounded, broken humanity. We open our hearts to the gift that the bridegroom wants to give us. This is holiness. This means to be a saint is not something we must first do. It is something that we must first let be done unto us. To be a saint, we must let God love us. Because to be a saint, we're called to love as God loves. But we cannot give what we do not have. This puts us all in the posture of the bride, open to receive the gift of the bridegroom. This, my brothers and sisters, is how we become saints, by cracking open our rib cage and letting love in, letting love in to inform and transform us. This is how we become saints. A saint, Pope Benedict says, Benedict XVI, a saint is someone who has allowed his or her heart to be pierced so deeply by God's love, beauty, and truth that that person is transformed inwardly by God's love, beauty, and truth. My brothers and sisters, this is the road to sanctity, to get in touch with our deep ache, longing, and yearning for love, and learn how to open it to the one who wants to fill us. This, among so many other things, is the bright light that the theology of the body shines on what it means to be human. If you enjoy these little videos I do on Facebook and you want ongoing formation in living this beautiful theology of the body, please consider becoming a member of the CORE Project, my ministry. CORE Project, C-O-R. It's Latin for heart. I'll leave a link in the notes here, and you can learn more about what it means to become a member of the CORE Project by clicking on that link. It's simply coremembership.com. Members receive ongoing little short videos of helping them to learn, live, and share this theology of the body. They also have access to my online library of talks and a host of other benefits. So let me just give a shout out to some people out there. Bill Holzinger says, excellent. Hi, Bill. Thanks for chiming in. Belinda Bolduc, amen. Bless you, Belinda. Sadie Bonvillain, am I saying that correctly? Hello, Sadie. Aiden Giles, thanks for this. You are very welcome. Marion Woods, thank you. From Northern Ireland, you are welcome. I am coming to Ireland, by the way, next summer. Stay posted at my events calendar on my website, coreproject.com. Looking forward to coming back to my homeland, the land of my ancestors anyway. I got a lot of Irish blood in me. Micah Felder, God bless. Hi, Marie O'Brien, you're welcome. Rosalind Block Brookins, have stumbled across these a couple of times in the last week. Are you on at a particular time? No, this is pretty random. I come on just randomly. But stay posted. You know, if you're in my Facebook feed, you'll be notified when these videos are coming. Bob Reagan, thanks, Christopher. You are welcome. Wojciech Kowalski, into the West. Bless you. Phil Morgan, peace be with you as well. Guys, thanks for joining me on this live Facebook video on this wonderful Feast of All Saints. I think I will also be doing, I think I can do tomorrow, a little reflection on All Souls Day and what purgatory has to teach us, and some of the misunderstandings about purgatory from the Protestant perspective, the Catholic perspective, and what light the theology of the body shines on that. So that'll be tomorrow, maybe around the same time, I don't know. But keep posted in your Facebook feed and share these videos with friends and family help get the word out. Take care, guys. If you've enjoyed this, just leave a comment. Love to hear from you. I'm signing off for now. Until next time, take care.